Mike, you're like a preacher, because when you're gone 1 week, you have more to say the next week. So, but it's good. It was good. When you're talking about comfort, and that's what we're talking about this morning, comfort. And Jesus Christ is the only, he is the only source of comfort in this world. Job chapter 15, we're going to cover a couple chapters, but it's not going to be real detailed here. And I'm not going to go over the whole thing. If you guys have been following along with us in Job, Job has been through the ringer. Now his three friends, quote unquote friends, are accusing him. This is the second round of accusations. And Eliphaz, who started the accusations, is now going to go after Job again, but with more intensity. And the theme or the thought this morning is looking for comfort. Remember, Job is probably the oldest real book in the world. It's the oldest book in your Bible, not in chronological order. I mean, the Bible's not necessarily in chronological order per se, but Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and written around 1700 BC, and so that's 1700 years before Jesus Christ is born. And of course, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. When he was born, that wasn't the first time he existed. That was just him becoming a man. But you know, all of our, just a note on that, but all of our time, all of our directions in the world, everything centers around the work of Jesus Christ. To give you an illustration, so here we are in 2019 is 2019 years after Jesus Christ was born. Everything's in reference to the work of Jesus Christ. Here, how about geographically? All right, well, you live in the West. The West in regards to what? In regards to where Jesus Christ did his work. If you were to go east of it, that would be east, and then you've got the Western side, you know, the European countries and the West. But even geographically, I mean, everything centers around the work of Jesus Christ. And so, with that said, Job, however, is pre-Jesus Christ as far as the ministry of Jesus Christ. Job chapter 15, and this is just looking for comfort. He's looking for comfort. His friends are not going to provide it. And we're going to go through this quickly, and I'll be honest with you, I said it again. Maybe you didn't catch it. When people say, I'll be honest with you, it's like, everything I've just said till now is a lie. But let me tell you, I'm going to be honest with you now. We just say stuff, you know, you don't even think about it. All right, Job chapter 15. This is Eliphaz and his accusation against Job. And here's his accusation consists of, he wants to be right, and he doesn't like that Job isn't accepting him being right. And Eliphaz is older than Job. He's probably the next generation. Remember, we went through that last week, where the common ancestor between Eliphaz and Job is Isaac. Isaac is Eliphaz's grandfather, but he's Job's great-grandfather. So Job is the next generation past Eliphaz, and he's a little bit older. Eliphaz is a little bit older, and that's what he's going to use against Job. And granted, there is something to say about generational wisdom, but that's not just because you're older doesn't mean you know better. And here's what Eliphaz says. Job 15, verse 1. Verses 1 through 6, he's going to argue that Job's confusion is further proof that Job is under the condemnation of God. Here's verse 1. Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Like what you're saying, Job, there's no application. I mean, you have no answers, so obviously you're confused, and obviously you're under the condemnation of God because you have no answers. Verse 4, yea, thou castest all fear and restrainest prayer before God. For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. All right, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk about looking for comfort this morning. Father, I thank you for... thank you for each soul that's here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would feed your flock. I pray you'd help us. Lord, a lot of this stuff in Job is, it's tough to get through because it's just people accusing Job, but the accusers don't really even have anything to say. I mean, they're just accusing Job, and there's not really anything they can actually accuse him of, and so... Lord, I pray that we would get from these verses the things we need to get from them. Lord, again, if anybody here is not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ. And Lord, understand their sin before a holy God and understand that sin's going to be judged. And I pray they'd get that sin taken care of under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you again for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Eliphaz, his deal is just too proud to be a comforter. He is a guy that just is going to be right. And he's more concerned about being right than anything else. And even at the expense of Job's discomfort, Job's tremendous loss physically, emotionally, all of that loss, Eliphaz is going to come in there and just accuse. And maybe you've met some folks, or maybe you are the folks that when it comes to things like this, you've met some folks or again, you are the folks that you just want to be right. And it really doesn't matter what other people, where they're at. It's just a matter of, I've got to be right. And that's all that matters is if I'm right. I can think of a few folks I know they're not in here, but I can think of some folks that I know that are like that. So Eliphaz, he argues against Job, verses 1 through 6, that Job, you don't know the answer, you're confused. That's further testimony to the fact that you're on God's bad side. And if you remember, all of these bad things happen to Job because God is going to put him through a trial. And as we'll see, the trying of your faith is what's precious to God. And he's going to put Job through a trial, or allow the devil to just do what he's going to do with Job, with a little parameters, a very few parameters there. And it's actually the opposite of what Eliphaz thinks. Eliphaz thinks Job is going through this because he's wicked. And actually, he's going through this because he's the man God chose to go through it. And the reason God allowed him to go through it is because God saw a man whose faith, he said, I can trust his faith. And so he's going to let him go through this stuff. So Eliphaz argues, you know, Job's confusion about the situation. He just doesn't have any answers. That means he's condemned. But you'll find that Job, with all the questions Job has, he doesn't blame God. It's not wrong, and this is what Eliphaz's first argument point is, but it's not wrong to have questions about things. That's not wrong to have questions about life and about God and about the Bible and about things. Just be sure and be careful those questions don't turn into indictments against God. You understand? You know, people say, well, what about the heathen in Africa? Well, they don't mean what about the heathen in Africa. What they mean is God's unjust. So it's just an indictment. It's not really a question. And so sometimes these questions, if you have honest, legitimate questions, that's fine. But be careful those questions don't turn into indictments against God, where you're throwing it in God's face because you're missing some information. And we're all missing some information, so just be careful that your missing piece of information doesn't lead you to blame God for something that you still don't have the answer to. So, you know, and some answers take years. Sometimes you don't find out why something happened for years, and it just takes a while. So Eliphaz gets on Job, and then he starts getting on him because Job is younger. Verse 7. Art thou the first man that was born, or wast thou made before the hills? You ever heard anyone say, he's old as the hills? All right, well, that's where that came from. Somebody's old as the hills. So Eliphaz says, are you as old as the hills? Verse 8, hast thou heard the secret of God? Dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? Which with us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father. So Eliphaz says, listen, your generation doesn't understand my generation. He said, look, we're the old men. He said, I'm older than your father. I know what's going on here, and I'm trying to tell you what's going on here. The problem is Eliphaz doesn't have any idea what's going on. He thinks the opposite is going on than what's actually going on. But at least he's going to use this argument against Job, because he can't pinpoint any of Job's sin. He's just going to try to show that he's right because of these things. Verse 11 says, are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doth thine heart carry thee away? And what doth thy eyes wink at, that thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? Job hasn't talked against God, though. Eliphaz keeps putting words in his mouth. He hasn't said these things. Verse 14, what is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? All right, Eliphaz is implying man is wicked enough and God is so holy that even he counts the heavens unclean in his sight, which the statement in itself is true. I mean, he's gonna wrap everything up like a garment and all that kind of stuff. However, he's applying it to Job and saying, man's wicked, Job. How much more are you wicked, someone who drinks iniquity like water? And so obviously you're more wicked than anybody else, but none of this is actually true. Job, Eliphaz just despises Job's youth. He just despises his inexperience and youth. And the only reason he does that is because he's trying to concoct an argument where he's right. He's the right guy. What he's saying is right, but it's not right. And then I'm not going to read the rest of all the chapter. I'll just give you the gist of it in verse 17. He says, I will show thee, hear me, and that which I have seen, I will declare, which wise men have told from their fathers and have not hid it, unto whom alone the earth was given and no stranger passed among them. All right. Eliphaz is going to give a series of observations that aren't true, but here's the crux of the matter. Eliphaz's argument is based on his experience in life, or what he perceives to be his experience. He's going to say, in my experience, the wicked, they live short lives, they live short, miserable lives, and the righteous people live long, happy lives. That's not true. That's not true anywhere in the world. And so, but that's going to be what he's going to sort of push off on Job as his experience. Now, here's some application to that. Some religions, some judgments of God are based on people's experience. There are some denominations, some people that believe that their experiences are the judge of the Bible. For instance, if I felt good at this particular service and there were things going on that weren't biblical, it doesn't matter that there were things going on that weren't biblical. The only thing that matters is I felt good at the service. Understand? So you judge the whole work of God based on your sensations, your what welled up inside of you. Man, it made me cry, and it was just such a moving experience. Well, you can have a moving experience, but ultimately, if that moving experience doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not true. Eliphaz is about to say, let me tell you my experience in life, and then give about 20 verses of lies and things that never actually happened. But he's presenting it as his experience in life. The whole point he's trying to make is he's right, Job's wrong. Job, you just need to repent, get right. You're wrong, Job. And so Eliphaz, as Job is looking for a comforter, Eliphaz is not the guy. He is not a comforter. He doesn't even want to be a comforter. Then here's Job. We're going to skip over to chapter 16, verse 1. Here's what Job says. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. So Job says, if you had trouble in your life, I could stand over you and accuse you. I could say the exact same things you're saying to me. But then he says, but I wouldn't do that. That's not how I would treat you. Verse 5, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. So Job would be a comforter. If he had friends, and you'll find it later on in the book, he's been a comforter to a lot of people. Job would be a comforter. He represents the do unto others as you have them do unto you mentality. And Job he's got the right spirit about him. In all this mess, he's got the right spirit about him. So Job would be a comforter. However, Job is looking for comfort and he can't find it. Look in verse 6. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? I mean, you just can't get comfortable. If I say something, it's still painful. If I don't say something, it's still painful. It just doesn't matter what I do anymore. Verse 7, but now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company, and thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I'm going to stop there and say this. Job would be a comforter if he could be. And if someone else were in a position he's in, he would comfort. However, Job's looking for comfort and he doesn't have any. And so he makes these statements that are exactly like Jesus Christ at the cross. And he makes these statements that people gather around him and they just gawk at him and they look at him like, what is wrong with you? And then they wonder why the physician can't heal himself, and they wonder why, speaking of Jesus Christ, he doesn't come off the cross. And there is a great comparison here to the cross. And you think about this. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, here's Job looking for comfort. There's no source of it. There's no place to find it. And you apply that when Jesus Christ is on the cross, and the Bible says the sky goes dark. You ever watched something, or you were told to watch something, and you couldn't watch that thing? I remember we would sit through training, and we would watch, just bad videos of accidents that happen at work and things like that. And some of that stuff, I mean, you don't even want to see it. I remember one morning we got up, it was about 5:30 in the morning, we had our little safety meeting, and it was one of these video things that we're going to do that morning. We didn't do it every day, but that particular morning we're going to do it. And instead of the video, they had passed out pictures and stuff like that and said, you know, keep your hands out of this, keep your hands out of this. And here's some pictures that show what happens when you don't keep your hands out of this. And I remember sitting there at the table and we're all passing them around. Some guys, I mean, they would just like, I don't even want to look. I think one guy even just, he just threw up. It was horrible. But you get some gruesome stuff and you don't even want to look at it. And I think of Jesus Christ on the cross and God the Father. And God the Father just like, I am not going to watch this. And he just turns his head and the sky goes dark. And he's just, I'm not going to watch this. If I know he's going to make it through this, but I can't stand to watch this. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Meaning God had literally turned his head and he was not going to watch what's about to happen. You and I have it recorded here, but you know what? God didn't watch it. And Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't say Job is exactly in that position, but he's pretty close to it. And he can't find help. He can't find comfort. He has no comforter. And that loss, that is the cry of a lost soul in hell. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Just gone, forgotten, out of sight, out of mind, just under the judgment of God. Job would be a comforter if he could be to someone in his position. But Job has no comforter. Just like Jesus Christ, he says, they have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. And God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Job has no comforter. And what's even worse than that is verse 11 through 14. His misery has been authored or allowed by God. And this is what really hurts folks to think about. God had delivered Job into wicked hands and allowed him to go through this. But God had other purposes and God was going to do something about all this. But he's going to allow Job to go through this. And here's the reason. Here's the reason. The Bible says this. We're studying in history about the Bible and things like that. And you find God-fearing, obedient, faithful people living oftentimes short lives, brief lives, troubled lives. And you wonder, okay, where do I provide comfort in this? I mean, how can I say to someone, you know, if you'll serve God, all these good things will happen to you, when the reality is you'll serve God and you'll get hit with a lot of opposition is what will happen. Here's why this is important with the Lord. The Lord values the trial of your faith more than the comfort of your body. He says in 1 Peter, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is trying to produce something valuable. And what God finds valuable is not on the scale of what we find valuable. And in Job, what he's looking for is comfort. He's looking for a way out of this situation. And he'll get it. He's going to get all that. And he's going to get blessings in this life. But at this point in time, he has no comfort. And God is allowing him to go through a trial because God counts that trial of his faith precious. And it's going to produce what God wants to produce. Now, here's the application. You and I, not just Job, but you and I are the beneficiaries of that. Here we are reading about a man that went through these things. And you can find comfort, and you're going to be able to find some help, and you're going to be able to find what he calls in the New Testament the patience of Job. That God can be, he's going to be a comfort, and he will be a comfort, just not exactly in the way you might think he's going to be. And I'll show you that in a second. So Job is, his misery is unfortunately allowed by God. The effects of his discomfort, verse 15, I've sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in my hands, also my prayer is pure. He's looking for a comforter now. Now listen to what Job says. O earth, verse 18. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven. That's significant. Job says, my witness is in heaven. I can't find anything on this earth that provides me comfort. My witness is in heaven. And my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but my eye poureth out tears unto God. I'm not complaining to any of you. My tears are for God, and he hears them, and he sees them. Verse 21, oh, that one might plead for a man with God as man pleadeth for his neighbor. That's Jesus Christ. Job is looking for Jesus Christ without knowing he's looking for Jesus Christ, but he wants a mediator. He wants a man that will be his advocate, someone that can explain to God, someone that can get answers from God, someone that can present a case before God, because Job can't. Verse 22, in a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Job is looking for a comforter, and there is no comforter. He would be a comforter. He doesn't have any comfort. He's looking for it. This is 1,700 years before Jesus Christ is born. And I want to say this. Jesus Christ is going to be the answer to everything Job is looking for here. Let me show you how. Look over in John chapter 14. Sometimes there are no answers in this world. Just trouble. John chapter 14. The night before Jesus Christ goes to the cross, he has this to say to his disciples. I don't know how much we'll read of this, but chapter 14 is about Jesus Christ being a comforter. So the night before Jesus Christ goes to the cross, he says this, chapter 14, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Boy, that'd be good to hear from God if Job could hear that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Notice, I don't have a place for you on this earth right now, but I'm going to go prepare a place for you. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Boy, if Job could have heard those words, but he couldn't. But here is Jesus Christ. Get the picture here. Because I'm taking Job, and we're making some application here to Jesus Christ the Comforter. Jesus Christ, before he's going to die on the cross, he tells his disciples, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. There's not a place here on this earth that's prepared. I'm going to go prepare a place, and then I'm going to bring that place to you. Here, you're going to have trouble. That's what he's going to say. Here, you're going to have trouble. So that's the expectation in this life. You're going to be faithful, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Here you'll have trouble, but I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You know what that is? That's comfort. That's some encouragement and some help through the trouble that says, you know what, this trouble will eventually pass. All this turmoil will eventually pass. So you know what Job didn't know? He didn't know when it was going to end. He had no idea what to look forward to. He knows God is righteous and just, but he doesn't know how God's going to deal with this situation. There's no comfort for him. But in Jesus Christ, 1,700 years later, Jesus Christ would say to a bunch of men who would give their lives, who would become martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the words of God, and he would say to him, look, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. You know what he's doing? He's giving comfort to people. Knowing what they're about to face, these disciples getting ready to go through trouble after Jesus Christ dies, they're going to be hunted down. Many of them are going to die, all of them are going to die martyrs' deaths. They're going to be hunted down, and Jesus Christ, as a comforter, is going to say, look, your expectations need to change a little bit. This life, this time, I don't have anything for you other than hope and comfort for the future. This evil world is going to be evil until the day you die. But let me tell you something. This world is not all there is to it. One day I'm coming back, and I'm coming back with the place I prepared for you. And that place will be absent of sin, absent of wickedness, absent of evil. The only question is for you guys, for you here, are you going to be in that place? Are you going to be with Jesus Christ? Is it a place prepared for you, or is it a place prepared for somebody else? Jesus Christ said this, verse 5. He says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You skip down to verse 15. Jesus will say this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. These are great words. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. The next few chapters deal with the comforter and the comforting that Jesus Christ provides, and that his Holy Spirit's going to provide as he ascends up into heaven and sends down the Holy Ghost. So here's the application, the question, the instruction, and all that. Jesus Christ provides the only source of comfort in this world. And the way he provides that is he tells you, this world is not all there is to it. There is more to life than what you see and feel around you. One day this body, like Mike said, these bodies, they get old and you do stuff like this. Wow. Can't see, can't hear. Body's just corruptible, just dies. But thank God for a changed body. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you a new body, a changed body. Not only that, I'm going to give you a place for that body to live with me. And I'm going to prepare that place. I'm going to prepare this body. the only thing you need to do to receive that, you trust Jesus Christ to pay for the sins that you've committed in this body. You trust Jesus Christ and His blood to pay for the sins that you've committed. You trust Jesus Christ to change that body of yours. I know some of you are younger and you haven't felt the corruption of the body yet. You will eventually. Hopefully it sticks with you. And you remember this. That comfort is something Job didn't have. He was looking for it. But I'll tell you this. In reading Job, matching it with the New Testament, what you find is these scriptures are presented in a way the Holy Spirit knows exactly where He wants to go with this. And so of all the things God could have written in history, He chooses to write about Job. And He chooses to write about a man who has no comfort. And He chooses to write about a man who has no comfort, who says the same things that Jesus Christ is going to say on the cross. Showing you this whole thing from the beginning to the end, these scriptures point to Jesus Christ over and over and over and over again. Jesus Christ is the comfort. That the Holy Ghost that He sends down, He's the comforter, and He's going to remind you of things that He said in His words. That's comfort. I'll end it with this, but I know I've said this before, and you find you do that a lot as a preacher. You just say the same things over and over sometimes. But it is impossible for a preacher, for a friend, for someone to, in this life, point to something at a funeral, in a health situation, and say, here's the answer, here's the solution. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, if you don't have any hope for the future, there's nothing I can say to give you comfort. People are looking for comfort at a funeral, for instance. They don't trust Jesus Christ. They have no idea what's happened. They don't know where the soul is gone. They just know the shell is laying in a coffin. Give us some comfort. Well, the comfort's in Jesus Christ. And if you're not going to believe Jesus Christ, I can't give you comfort. I can't hand it to you. I don't have it. Jesus Christ is the comfort. He's the one that's prepared. He is the way. He's made a place. He's paid for your sins. He offers forgiveness of God by His own blood. And if you're not going to get those things, there's nothing I can say to give you comfort. On the other hand, someone who trusts Jesus Christ, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Man, it's a tragedy to watch the body die, but you know what? There's hope in that. There's comfort. You know what Paul said? I kind of hinted at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he goes through and he talks about Jesus Christ receiving believers and coming back and all those kinds of things. And he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Here's the comfort. You know what the comfort is? These words. I go to prepare a place for you. All this stuff you're dealing with will one day be over. Now, hopefully, you've trusted Jesus Christ, and when all of this stuff is over, it's a happy ending. But if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, when all of this is over, you just drop down into hell and it just gets worse. And I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else to, and I'm not going to gloss it over and just say, well, it is kind of a bad thing if you don't trust Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ went through what He went through to pay for your sin. And he doesn't want you in hell. He doesn't want you going there. And if you go there, it will be against His will that you go there. God is willing that none should perish. For God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All those things, that's God's will in Jesus Christ. He's the comfort. Job doesn't have all those comforts. God's going to help him out in the end. But he doesn't have anyone to look to. He's just wandering around, but God allowed him to go through these things to try him, to show us what patience looks like in this world, but ultimately to point to Jesus Christ, who would be the comforter.